the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Have you ever heard that old gospel song, "They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn"? Talking about the children of Israel, the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And you'll find that in Daniel chapter 3, and that's where we are on today's edition of Exploring the Word. We're so grateful that you're listening. My name is Alex McFarland, and with me to my right, not a thousand miles away, but just right here with me, is Bert Harper.
Yes,
and Bert, it's great.
And you're with me, and I'm not with you a thousand miles away from Tupelo. Welcome to Tupelo.
Amen. Well, it's great to be here at the headquarters of the American Family Association, the studios of the American Family Radio Network. Now, the reason we kind of jokingly talk about this is I travel a lot, and 99% of the time, I'm somewhere stove up in a hotel room with a bunch of computer equipment on the desk, and we're doing the show, and most of the time it works. But to my left is our dear colleague in the endeavor, Brent Creeley. And let me tell you, Brent, sometimes we're sweating bullets trying to get this stuff to work when I'm on the road. So it's really great to be in the studio with you, my dear brother.
Thanks, Alex.
And what a joy it is. It is a joy for he and me both, because when we know you're here, I'm not wondering, okay, do I take the first 5 minutes by myself, or is Alex ready? And that's the great adventure.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of like the Lord just directing us and helping us, and it just makes it real interesting. And it's always interesting to know where you are.
Well,
and
yeah.
We love to hear that and hear what God's doing. God's doing a great work in Alex McFarland's life in ministry as well, isn't he?
Well, you know, I want to just be on record thanking the Lord for American Family Association. And, you know, 9 years ago, July is 9 years ago, Jim Stanley and Tim Wildman called me, and they said, come be on the radio. And I said, that'd be great. Sure would love to do that. But I am an itinerant traveling evangelist, and I don't know that God completely wants me to close that chapter. And they said, no, I'd never heard of the equipment. Anyway, Jim Stanley taught me how to use all this stuff, and Devin Patrick did. I want to say a big thanks to AFA for allowing me to travel, preach all over North America. I take this equipment, use it. Sometimes it doesn't work, once in a blue moon. And I thought, well, surely, after about the second or third time, I'll never forget, I'll tell you where I was. I was at LaGuardia Airport in New York City.
New York City. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
New York City.
You get it right, Brent? Okay.
That's an old joke.
Yeah.
But this is probably 8.5 years ago, and I was at LaGuardia Airport in New York, and we were trying to do the show, and it wouldn't work. And I thought, well, they'll fire me. You know, they'll toss me to the side. And I called Jim Stanley the next day, profusely apologizing. He said, hey, man, you tried. We'll just wake up tomorrow, and we'll try and do it next day. And I learned that this ministry is so full of grace. And I just thank the Lord that we get to look at the Word of God, Daniel 3. I thank the Lord that I've been able to continue traveling. And sometimes when the equipment just doesn't want to participate with us, Tim Wildman and everybody says, well, hey, we'll do it next day.
But
you're right, God is doing things. I want to tell you, I'm going to be in Columbus, Mississippi, Friday night through Sunday. And we'll talk more about that. Woodland Baptist and Pastor Shelby Hazard.
Great man of God. Shelby's a friend.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just thank God for that. Amen.
Yeah, it is great. And then, of course, in a month, or less than a month, really, we've got Truth for a New Generation in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Folks, please be in prayer. September 14, 15, we'll be there. Josh McDowell, Michael Brown, J. Warner Wallace, Mickey Addison, a lot of great speakers. Also, listen up, folks. Tadashi, who is a Christian artist, is going to be doing the music. I guarantee your kids know who he is and love him. And so you can register for that. And, Bert, you know, the theme of the Truth for New Generation tour, by the way, we're going to be in Baton Rouge in October, we call it the Save a Nation tour, because we need to see the gospel spread in our country. We need to save a nation. We need Obviously, amen, God does it, but we need to proclaim it.
We need to cooperate with Him. The older I get, the more I love that word, cooperate. That's what we do at AFR. We cooperate with other ministries. I mean, James Dobson for years and years, Dr. Adrian Rogers, cooperate with Truth Worth Finding, Love Worth Finding.
And Tim Todd.
So, yeah, I mean, there's so much, and we thank God. And we're privileged to come alongside, and with Exploring the Word, we do our best to have the nation's biggest Bible study group.
Amen.
And so we're going to dig into chapter 3 of Daniel, and then we're going to take questions at the end of the hour. So, you ready to go?
I got a question.
Yeah,
now.
Okay.
Nebuchadnezzar has a bad dream, can't sleep. The magicians can't interpret the dream, can't even tell it. A lot of them get executed. Daniel is able to not only tell him what you dreamed, but what it meant. And Nebuchadnezzar says, well, your God is the true God, you know, because he reveals the secrets. And it was a dream about a big image with a head of gold and a chest and shoulders and arms of silver and then an apron of brass, legs of iron, feet of clay and steel. And so from everything we read in chapter 2, that probably was not a pleasant dream.
It was not. I mean, it gave him trouble, couldn't sleep. And but God, who had given Daniel special gifts of interpreting and knowing dreams, yeah, even gave him a even bigger gift, yeah, in knowing what the dream was. Now, he had already had the gift of being able to interpret visions, yeah, and dreams.
Yes.
That's already been said. But then God added to this for, I think, a special provision,
yes,
for him to be able to know the dream, Alex, because that's, yes, not necessarily what it said earlier about Daniel.
Sure.
He could just interpret it, but this one, a special provision of God's gift to know what the dream was.
Well, and also that a stone comes from out of heaven and crushes this image, and as we talked about last week, really, this has been from the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greeks, the Romans, now the Europeans. Nebuchadnezzar's image from Daniel chapter 2 was a roadmap of world history,
really,
actually.
Was. Yes, it was. And it was before and not after.
Exactly. So Nebuchadnezzar, in the last two verses of chapter 2, Daniel, the good news is I'm not going to kill you. And the great news is I'm going to promote you. And it says Daniel became a great man, given many gifts, made ruler. Now, with all that said, if a statue and an image caused you to not be able to sleep, and it really was a troublesome thing, we get to verse 3, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, the breadth thereof 6 cubits, set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So we're talking 90 feet high and 9 feet wide.
That's right.
Here's my question. With all the kerfluffle about that dream of a statue, why did he go and build a statue?
Pride is the hardest thing in the world to crucify.
Oh, you say that again.
Pride is the hardest sin in all the world to crucify.
Yeah.
Paul was talking about making himself, crucifying these things. Pride has a tendency to keep on coming and coming. Everybody said, what is the greatest sin? Is there one? I believe there is. I believe pride was the first sin, and it's the greatest sin. Pride's kept more people out of heaven than any other sin. Pride has caused more damage than anybody. Satan says, I'm going to be like the Most High.
Yeah.
And so here's Nebuchadnezzar, who really was not brought low. Okay, we're going to have to wait to chapter 4 for,
yes,
him to be brought low.
Good point.
But he is brought with a reality of who God was and could do, but not humbled in the sight of God.
Therefore,
he still had not dealt with the biggest issue of pride.
He might have had a few sleepless nights,
yeah,
but he wasn't yet brought low.
He was not.
I mean, folks, you got to read this. In Daniel chapter 3, he sets up an image and hires a praise band to himself, actually. Now, and I'm going to
talk
about
that. It is. It's like a rock band, man, when you hear this music.
And you know what? I wonder if he walked around and that dream, that head of gold, you know, and the stone from heaven did crush it, but I got to have me one of those.
Yeah.
And so the king builds this great statue on the plain of Dura, and it's an image of gold, and he gathers his cabinet, the princes, the governors, the captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of
that. That's big government, okay?
Yeah, this is bureaucracy. Listen, Washington has nothing,
nothing
on Babylon.
On Nebuchadnezzar, that's right.
And he gets them together for the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, keep in mind, this is a great, huge monument to himself. And verse 3, the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of all the provinces were gathered together to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image, over and over, the image, Nebuchadnezzar, the image. And so they said, now here's the praise band. Okay, everybody, listen. At what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and does not worship at the same hour shall be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, I got to say, Nebuchadnezzar was a pretty tough critter. Okay, I've had a bad dream. Not only do you want me to, I want you to interpret it and tell me what the dream was, even though I'm not going to tell you what it was. You better read my mind or I'll kill you. Now, here's this statue I've put up, and when the praise band plays, if you don't fall down and worship it, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. This guy is a take-no-prisoners, pretty tough guy, isn't he?
Well, when you have the opinion that Nebuchadnezzar has of himself, what else do you expect?
Yeah.
Now, it
yeah.
may not come out, but as far as he's concerned, what he speaks. And so at that time, verse 7, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, symphony, and all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the god, the gold image, which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. You can't help but say that. Had set up. He did yeah. it of himself.
Yeah.
I think he's doing this for a reason. See what you think. We've talked about the pride. We're talking about him being a tough customer. When you see this, it is satanic.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know, which he had set up
yeah.
because Satan, in the beginning, he wanted him to be most like the Most High.
Yes.
And this is satanic, demonic, if you would,
yeah.
that he would have this issue. So when you have pride and you don't deal with it, what are you setting yourself up? Here it says he set up this image, but he's setting himself up, Alex, to have demonic influence, if not control, over what he's doing.
Well, and you know, they were very prosperous. Babylon was wealthy, was prosperous. You know, they could have been using their prosperity and wealth to contribute to the betterment of the human condition, feed the poor, do things like that. But no, he was using his wealth and his power to bring worship to himself. So here's what's going to happen. There are Chaldeans that accuse the Jews. And
let's talk up. They're jealous.
They are.
Why has happened? Daniel is set at the gate of the king, and he, along with Daniel said, I want you to bring these three Hebrew children up to be over the affairs of Babylon.
Yeah.
Jealousy set in
oh,
by the Chaldeans, and now they're just looking for an opportunity to bring them down.
That's a great point. I mean, so much of this, it's prideful and it's political.
And hey, do they not go together most of the time?
Okay.
I better not go there, head of
guys. Politics, pride, and power, therein is a struggle.
There is. You're listening to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert with you today, and we're in Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to get, in my opinion, to some of the greatest declarations you'll ever hear in just a moment. So don't go away. Stay with us for more.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, the last 2 years, we've just had tremendous response, early response to the announcement they were going to Israel on a Holy Land tour. We're going March of this year. We go March of every year. Last year, we filled up like early fall. And I expect us to fill up early fall this year as well. So if you're interested in this March 14th through the 22nd tour, and you'll be going with primarily supporters of AFA and AFR, just get the brochure and check it out. You can call us today at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll mail you a brochure. If you simply want to go online, all the information is there. It's at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want to go in March, we're filling up and we're filling up fast. So check it out, twholyland.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says when it feels like your problems have you locked up behind bars, God is working on a jailbreak. He'll talk about how to hold on till that day comes as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, Paul and Silas are in jail worshiping. How do you worship in jail? How do you worship when you're stuck in a place you don't want to be? How do you worship when there's no escape from the problem you're in? It says they worshiped in jail, and suddenly, out of nowhere, there was an earthquake that shook open the door. I wish I could tell you how much longer you're going to have to wait for your change to come. I wish I could tell you how much longer they're going to be treating you bad on your job, treating you bad in that situation you're in, and you're trying to please God and be righteous. I wish I could tell you what the waiting game is in the plan of God. I cannot tell you because there are too many pieces of this puzzle. There are too many people. There are too many things going on. What I can tell you is you will know when God shows up, bam, because it'll be suddenly. In so many unexpected ways. Yeah, sometimes God lets it get worse before he lets it get better. Sometimes he takes you all the way to the end. He takes you to rock bottom so you can discover he's the rock at the bottom.
If you could use some reassurance as you deal with the circumstances of your life, check out Tony's CD series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert with you today. And we're in Daniel chapter 3. If you can get a copy of the Word of God and join us, I believe you'll be blessed. And get ready for a highlighter or something to underline a verse or two. If you do that, and again, that's just alerting yourself to a passage that would bless you. Nebuchadnezzar has set up the statue, the image of himself. He's got the band ready to play. When the band plays, they're to bow down and worship him. And it comes to verse 9. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree. Notice the emphasis. O king has made a decree. Everyone who hears the sound of the horn and all the music, whoever does not fall down in worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fire furnace. And we're here to tattletale. And they whispered, our plan finally worked. And there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods of worship, the gold image which you have set up. Here they are. This is not by accident, Alex. When you see this and see they were observing and they were watching, and these are the Jews, what they said in verse 8, certain Jews came forward, accused the Jews. This was a setup for them. They knew, is it okay to get caught in your worship for the Lord? If you're going to be accused of something, this is pretty good of something to be accused
of. If you're going to be persecuted, at least be persecuted for the right thing.
And this is one of them.
Let me digress for just a second. In a way, Nebuchadnezzar, now he's going to be brought low. Does Nebuchadnezzar meet the true God of heaven? We're going to get there and talk about that. But look, politically, he was, at least at this point in his tenure, a type of Antichrist. And I'm going to explain why. Yeah. Because, you know, the Bible talks about at the end times, the whole world will be brought under a political, cultural, and religious unification, and you must take the mark of the beast or die. All right. At this point, and scholars, I was studying this, all these instruments, The cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Some of these instruments are Greek instruments. Did you read about this?
I did.
Babylon and Greek had a lot of concordant going on right now, trade, commerce. So if this is a religious edict, and if Babylon is a seat of world religion, Greek is a very important player in terms of commerce and education. So not everybody would have known the same language, but what they do know is the sound of music.
The sound of music, and it makes that plain.
Yeah.
That it is all nations that are coming to do this. The nations that are under the influence of Nebuchadnezzar, which at that time was the world's largest.
Exactly. So just in case some of you out there don't understand Chaldean, they're saying, and just in case some of you don't speak Greek or Latin, here's the deal. Everybody can hear music. So when you hear music, worship the image. Now, you know during the tribulation there's going to be an image set up people are going to have to worship.
There's a lot of similarities here. You're exactly
This is very eschatological, I might say. But they come and they say in verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the fairs. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar, these guys work for you.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Now, just as in the book of Acts, we were talking about Tertullius, who gave just the most, saccharine speech. Verse 12 just oozes with troublemaking and tattletelling.
You can tell it when, and it's all, let me use a word that's used a lot these days, fake. It is not true adoration. It is just soft soaping the whole thing.
Verse 13.
Yes, go ahead.
Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true that you do not serve my gods nor worship the golden image? I mean, I'm not believing this. You guys are on my payroll, and you're not going to worship as God the statue of myself that I've put up. Now, if you be ready, because look at verse 15, it's almost like maybe you didn't understand. So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
That's what he is. He's giving them, okay, you didn't do it the first time. What about the second time?
Because, guys, here's how this works. When you hear the music, worship me.
Yeah.
And surely you get that. But there is a little veiled threat at the end of verse 15. If you don't worship, you'll be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?
I won't answer that.
Okay.
The same God that gave Daniel the ability to know and to interpret your dream, O Nebuchadnezzar.
Amen.
The same God. Now, he doesn't use the big G, but he's still pagan in his thought and pride is ruling. Shadrach, now here it is. And again, folks, I believe this is beyond measure some of the greatest information you'll ever get in your prayer life, and praying for sickness to be healed, for finances to be made better. Just listen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Now, there's a whole sermon there if you really start looking at it. But if not, if God doesn't deliver it, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up.
It's almost like saying, Nebuchadnezzar, you want to shake a big fist at us? Well, our God's got bigger hands than your clenched fist.
And the final judgment is not you, Nebuchadnezzar. It is our God. And that passage is so burning. He will deliver us from your hand. It's not your hand. Now, I believe that, Alex. I don't think God causes all the things that happen to individuals. Does he permit it? Yes, it's through his hand that it's permitted. But I want to just tell you, when he gets ready to deliver, he'll deliver. And if he wants us to deliver it through the difficulty, so be it. I love Hebrews chapter 11. You and I have gone over that. And it's It talks about in the first part how God delivered, what God did, how God showed himself. But in verse 33, it takes a turn and it says, but some were not delivered. They were sown in two. They were killed.
Yeah.
You know, but it uses the same faith. The word, the kind of faith, doesn't change.
Wow.
It's the same faith that delivered them is the same faith that carries you through being sown into the way probably the prophet Isaiah was.
There's exercising faith, and then there's being faithful. And you know what? Let me just say this. We love Billy Graham. He went to be with the Lord February 21. But there are probably thousands of people every bit as faithful that we never heard of. You'll see him in heaven one day. And so the question is not results. The question is obedience.
Amen.
The call is not fame or success. The call is faithfulness. Isn't that something? And Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, if you get sideways with me, who is that God that can deliver you out of my hands? And they said...
They declare it, don't they?
They said, and I've always pictured in my mind, I've tried to think about what this scenario might have looked like. I have in my mind that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were very respectful, probably very careful about, measured how they used their words. But they said, we're not careful to answer you, but if it be so, our God whom we serve, not you and not your God, but our God, is able to deliver us out of your hand. But if not, King, you need to understand, we will not serve your gods, and we will not bow or worship this golden image.
Now, let me ask you this. But if not,
Kill us. If you think you've got to kill us, you do what you've got to do, but we must worship our God.
Yeah. And if God doesn't deliver us, if not, if I'm not healed from the disease, if my marriage is not restored, if I don't get a better job, if you know, this is not rectified, I'm still going to worship you.
So look,
do we need that in our lives today, or I know I'm going on this. Have we become so declarative in our Christian life? Well, here, God, here I am. I expect, and we're talking about privilege.
Yeah.
These guys are not privileged in that way. They say, God, we're your servants to begin with. We'll be your servants no matter what happens. We are worshiping you and you only.
I want to speak for a moment to the parents and to the pastors. Mom and dad, you need to lovingly but consistently run your house according to God's principles. Your teenage child might puff up and get mad if you put limits on the computer, if you don't let them go to the R-rated movie with their friends. If you lay down boundaries, there's going to be a cost, but you have to do it before God. Run your household God's way. Let me say to the preachers out there, listen, if you preach the entire Bible, even the parts about homosexuality and the sacredness of life, and there is no Savior but Jesus, I mean, the issues of our day are really secularism, pluralism, relativism. Pastor, I would beg of you, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, look, so-and-so might get mad and quit my church. If I really lay down the word and preach against sin, if I call out the ungodliness of our age, that might cost me some members. But even though people get mad at the word of God, my God is able to help our church grow. So, Pastor, I would beg of you, don't bow before the pressure of political correctness. There's a Nebuchadnezzar-type golden image in our day, and it's called tolerance and political correctness and pluralism. And we've got to be able and courageous enough to stand up for truth and let the chips fall where they may. Now, verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and it says the form of his visage was changed. In other words, this guy is so angry it shows on his face, and he says, men...
Let me remind you, he was already full of fury and anger, according to verse 13.
Yeah, 13.
And now it is amplified beyond measure.
This guy's rage has caused him to be, like, disfigured.
Yes.
It reminds me of some of the liberals I see on TV that just have a crazy expression on their face, that some of us actually believe in morals and God. But anyway, they say, heat the furnace seven times hotter than it was supposed to be heated. Take the mighty men, bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them in the burning fiery furnace. And so they were. And you know what? The flame was so hot that some of the men that were taking the prisoners up to the fiery furnace were killed by the heat.
Yeah, the heat was so big that when they opened the door, the flames jumped out and got them. I mean, yeah, you know, it was like a hand grabbing them. It was that hot.
Well, this is amazing, and we've only got a couple of minutes before the break, so I want to try to get through this. Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's verse 22. And these three men, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. All right, so the soldiers walking them up the ramp get burned up, but the three Hebrew children don't. The king was astonished, rose up in haste, and spoke to his counselors. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They said, that's right, king. He said, but I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth of the form is like the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
Now, think about this demonic spectator sport to throw people into fire and watch them burn. But the king is astonished. They're not dead. They're not crying out in pain. Oh, we blew it. We disobeyed King Nebuchadnezzar. They're safe and secure in the fire, and with them is the Savior, who is the one. This God that they referenced in 17, the God that we serve, O King, is quite able to protect us.
So they were not delivered from the fire. They were delivered through the fire. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
They were. And then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning furnace, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. There he comes again.
Yeah.
He knows it. He knows about this God, but he doesn't know him yet. Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and all the administration was there watching it. And it says here, they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them.
It didn't even smell smoky. Apparently, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had power over the elements.
Amen. Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel, his messenger, and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they were frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, and they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. And he made a decree. But first of all, three men are out of the fire. Where's the fourth man?
Well, he's everywhere.
Well, here's what somebody said. I heard a great sermon. He's still in the fire waiting on others that will be thrown in.
Wow. Yes.
You can't, I mean, he is there in the midst of it. Reminds me of the book of Isaiah, the waters and the floods and the fires.
Yeah.
I'll be with you.
Amen. Amen. Friends, this is called a theophany. This is a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus Christ. And in case we weren't explicit enough, that Son of God, verse 25, that's Jesus Christ. That is the second member of the Trinity, God the Son, who's in the fire, delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the decree gets flipped around, doesn't it?
It does. In verse 30, there's already pretty high, and they got even more promotions.
Nebuchadnezzar says, let me tear down this statue right quick.
Amen. You're listening to Exploring the Word. We're ready for phone calls. 888-589-8840.
From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. It's not by chance that Jesus refers to his church as the body. Just as it is with our physical bodies, every member has a distinct role and function to fulfill. Unfortunately, in this era of celebrity Christianity, we've reduced the concept of ministry solely to what occurs in what is often little more than Sunday productions and performances. The key to thriving in God's kingdom is understanding that every member in the body of Christ is vital and is called to ministry.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association. AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
Alexa, play American Family Radio.
Welcome to the AFR Alexa skill.
Alexa, play the Today's Issues podcast from August 10th.
Do you want to play hour one or two?
Hour one.
This is Trivia Friday.
Click Just Ask Alexa at the bottom of the Alexa FAQ page at AFR.net to get started. Then use Amazon Alexa to access the programming of American Family Radio.
Friendships is offering Seahawks Holy Land, a very special session of the Relief Missions Program for young adults beginning September 2018. Seahawks will be deployed to the Middle East following basic training and will provide medical care and humanitarian aid to Syrian war victims at Camp Ishai on the border between Israel and Syria. Study the Word and tour Israel. Experience the sites where Jesus and the disciples lived and worked. Go to friendships.org. Call 337-433-5022 for more information.
Cardinal Francisco Jiménez de Cisneros is perhaps a name you don't immediately recognize, but his contribution to the scholarly study of the Bible was a considerable one.
A highly influential cardinal of the 15th century, he recognized a growing lack of interest in the Bible. His vision was to revive the study of what he called the sacred scriptures by providing scholars accurate texts of the Old Testament in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, as well as the New Testament in Greek and Latin, and to do so in several languages arranged in parallel columns to allow for study and comparison.
The Complutensian Polyglot Bible was the first of its kind, encompassing the entire Bible, greatly influencing many subsequent editions of the Bible, and even becoming a textual source for the King James Bible.
Engage with this book of books in its continuing influence.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Everybody here.
Well, this is Exploring the Word, and we're looking for a revival, aren't we, Bert?
Amen. Praise God. Do it again.
Amen. The number is 888-589-8840. We will take your Bible questions, and make a mark there, and we're going to pick up on Daniel chapter 4 again tomorrow. But exciting stuff, and again, it's great to be in the studio with you.
It is good to have you. Not, it's always good, and so let's go to the phone lines. Get
let's
as many
it.
Phone calls as we can.
We're going
to
do it.
Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Talon. Is it Talon? Is that right?
Yes.
Go ahead, brother.
First, I just wanted to tell you, I listen to you fellas almost every day on this, and I appreciate what y'all do.
But, we appreciate you.
Daniel chapter 3 here, and verse 17, where Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are addressing the king, I have a little different outlook on that than what most people think or most people teach. It says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the king, out of the hand of the old king. And where it says, but if not, right there, I take that, when I read that, they're talking, so to speak, as to say, King, if you throw us into the fire, our God will deliver us from that. But if you don't throw us into the fire, we're still not going to bow down and worship you. We're not going to take your bluff of threats. And yeah. I believe that because they said he will deliver us. There's no doubt, there's no wavering, there's no question about it.
Yeah,
I believe it was total faith, and I believe the scripture says the only way to move God's hand is through faith.
Yep. I like what you're saying, brother, because what they're in 17 and 18, they're saying in as strong a terms as they can, unequivocally, we are not going to bow down and serve your false god.
That's no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what, we serve the true and living God. We will not serve the false god.
I don't disagree with that. I still think, if I look at it the way the Bible demonstrates that, God delivers, And if you remember what it did, Taylor, and I referenced Hebrews chapter 12 with that, and it says this. It talks about through faith, Gideon and Barak were all delivered. They quenched the violence of fire. But in verse 35, and others, it's others of the same kind. They were tortured. They were delivered. They didn't receive the deliverance. They had mockings. Either way, it's a matter of faith. The faith that takes you through the fire and delivers you, this is the same faith that it takes to be thrown in the fire and still be destroyed. Either way, the interpretation, we'll find out one day which one it is. But either way, it is faith, and God responds every time. He'll either deliver you through it or deliver you from it. And even if you go through it and you don't live, He is still God. And I believe the book of Hebrews chapter 11 has that. That's a great point, Taylor. And again, Alex, would you disagree or say that is a possibility?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I want to get back to the calls, but you know, when they basically in 17 and 18, they say unequivocally, we're not going to bow. And it says in verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar's form was changed. He was so full of anger. Okay, a form is just this empty image. All right, in verse 1 it says he made an image. Here's my point. Just as that statue was a dead, empty object, Nebuchadnezzar at this point, without the true living God, was as empty and dead as that statue itself. He was a human, but he was so full of pride and unbelief and anger, he himself was almost subhuman here. He was just a form. Amen. Now, that's going to change. But their commitment to God was just undoubtable there.
Amen. Either way, their faith was strong.
Yes.
Taylor, thank you for that. It helped me to look at that and consider it, brother. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Texas and talk to Paul. Paul, welcome. Paul, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Hey, yeah, just touching back on what you said about Jesus Christ being that fourth figure in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I was just wondering how, if you could expand on that, how you come to that conclusion, being that Jesus Christ, being both God and man, had not been born yet.
Okay, good question, and that's been raised. When you look at the literal translation, it talks about being in the form of a God.
Right.
Of a God. And since we know who that was and who it was, we know it was Jesus Christ, a pre-incarnate Christ. But his when you look at that in his observation, his form was different than the other three.
Yes.
There was something about it that made it, would word be God-like? Is
yes.
that?
Godlike, and you're right, this is before the incarnation at Bethlehem. But, you know, the Old Testament sometimes uses the term the angel of the Lord, which is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, not the incarnation, because what all was involved in the incarnation is a very multi-layered topic, I mean, really. But God was able to come into the realm of humanity as he did when he appeared to Abraham and others. And this is one of those, it was Jesus, but it wasn't in the body that he inhabited while he was here on earth.
Right. You know, if you remember at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus' body changed and
yes.
it was more glorious. There's no doubt in my mind the fourth figure was a glorious figure that the king could identify as different than the others.
Exactly.
Amen. Thanks
great
for that. Great question.
Question.
Let's go to Virginia and talk to Monty. Monty, welcome.
Thank you, guys. Let me just say this real quickly. This little town of Culpeper, Virginia, did make it in the top 10 in small towns in the nation.
Wow.
I'm not a Bible scholar, but I tell you what, guys, when you refer to the three individuals that were in the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they had the Hebrew or Jewish names, why do we not say their names? And we know it's in the Bible, but why do we not say their names more often than we use the heathen or godly names, I guess, of Nebuchadnezzar.
I got a feeling, because I don't mean to say this anyway, it's fun to say their names in that, and it's more difficult, and it doesn't go with smooth. I think it's more convenience than it is anything else. Is it wrong? Monty, I've heard that, and I've tried to say that. And when you refer to them as the Hebrew names, people say, "Now, who are you talking about?" He's right about why we do that.
Yeah.
We don't do it with Daniel. We don't call him Belteshazzar.
I've thought about that in prepping for these shows, and I'm glad you brought that up. So, folks, let's make it our business to memorize Hananiah, that was Shadrach, Mishael, that was Meshach, and Azariah was Abednego. And Daniel was often called Belteshazzar, but you're right. Daniel, we keep his Hebrew name, yeah. Like you say, Bert, little rhymes and songs have been made up, and it's probably just force of habit.
It is, and there's a certain rhythm to them. I admit that it is with me. They're embedded in my brain, Monty, but just because that's the way we've done it, and just because it's easier, doesn't mean we need to do it.
Yeah,
Monty,
right on.
Thank you for your great point, and I appreciate it, brother. Let's go to Texas and talk to Watson. Watson, welcome.
Bert?
Yes, your own brother. Go right ahead.
Okay. No topic in regards to today. This is my fourth time trying to get in when you were out when Jan's brother died. But, my friend, I want to bless you, and I have a God question about a third heaven and then back on heaven and earth in the very final. And I'll make it real quick, and y'all can expound as much as you want, but I don't want to hold other callers up. So here we go. Bert, you need to listen to what Jim Stanley, you talk about a preacher that just like had some notes to kind of look at. He just threw them up. He prayed for you. This is just how it went. You talk about the Holy Spirit taking over Jim. You need to hear the prayer that he prayed because of the love that he has for your family. The ebony flow, the way it goes. Alex was must have been on the phone. He was working with Jim that day. The very first day, though, that he spoke, you just listen to it, my friend. It'll touch you. You'll think tongues of fire coming out of him. He just, it's not like anything. You have to listen to it to hear it again. I've only heard it once. Just blew me away. I couldn't believe it. And so you talk about touched and being blessed. It was laid down. It's the closest thing is speaking in tongues that I think maybe that you would recognize coming out of his mouth and to you for us for thinking about you and your family. Okay, going right on into the third heaven right now where the saints are and everybody. I kind of got a little brain fog here. So up there. Can we see God right now, those that are in heaven? Can they visibly, and Alex, you chirp in here too. In other words, you didn't have to be long at all. But with his holiness and his brightness in heaven right now, those that are in heaven, the holding place, the third heaven, can we view, I know Jesus, but God himself, the Father?
Wow. Well, we know Stephen looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, and that was from earth, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And when we think about Paul being caught up into the third heaven, it says that he saw things that he could not even describe and could not comment on. I still think there's a veil. I want to just give you my opinion.
Yeah.
I still think there's a veil of glory still at that point in time, Alex, that it's so majestic. I mean, Moses, when he passed by, he had to hold his hand in front of Moses' eyes and hide him in the cleft of the rock. He had to have double protection when God's glory came by.
Amen. Revelation 20, verse 11 says that there was one on a great white throne before whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Now, can you imagine the face of God that causes the very elements to retreat? However, in Matthew 5:8, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, Stephen Alford, I was reading a commentary, talks about that the word pure means cleansed by an outside agent. It's like you take soap and wash your clothes. Our hearts have been cleansed by an outside agent. We see God, but not in his full glory. I don't know that even the redeemed in heaven can see God in his pure, eternal essence.
I think it's a little veiled. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they could see when Jesus was just his bodily form was revealed, they could see Elijah and Moses. But when that effulgence is what it's called, when it was stripped away, his flesh was stripped away, and the glory, man, they couldn't even stand to look at it there, Alex.
Yes.
Even in the beginning. I believe there's some, I'm calling it veiledness there.
Yeah.
That God has to, for our own protection,
this is probably not a great illustration at all, but I was playing guitar in church back at Christmas, and I took my guitar amp, and you know, where we go to church could seat 400 people, but I turned my guitar amp to like a little smidgen past one, and it was plenty loud. Now, could I have turned it up to 10? Yeah, but it would have probably blown out the windows of the church. Matthew 5:8, the pure in heart will see God if you're wrapped in the righteousness of Christ, if you're saved. But what we see God, but I think in mercy, he limits how much exposure we have, because to his eternal, uncreated, omnipotent essence, I don't know that any created thing could fully stand in that presence.
I fully agree. Man, what some great questions we've had today. And we're going to try to get one more in. Where from North Carolina? Where? Go ahead. Hadn't got a lot of time, so do it quickly, please. Where? Are you there? I hope I'm saying it correct. W-E-I-R. Okay, not there. So, brother, call back in. And
888-589-8843.
Yeah, we're not even going to have time for any more this day.
We'll get another question.
Yeah, when we get, we'll have to get another question. I want to comment. Watson was talking about Jim and him praying for Jan, my wife, and family. I just want to tell you, the prayers of God's people avail much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Mm-hmm.
But when you compound that, the effectual, fervent prayer of a lot of people praying for you, he lifts us up, Alex. When we would be under all the weight and all the turmoil and all the difficulty, he bears us up on eagle's wings. He carries us through. Mm-hmm. He is a God who delivers. He is a God who blesses. And he is a God who does not turn his back on you. He stays with you through thick or thin. That's the God that we serve, brother.
Amen. And you know what? When it comes to the endurance to get through life, the strength to resist temptation, or even like the grace to forgive somebody. See, here's one of the beautiful things about walking with Christ. That thing that we can't do in and of ourselves, he'll give us the grace to do it if we ask him, if we trust him. I've had people say to me, well, I just can't forgive somebody. Okay, so ask God to give you the ability to do it, because he, with all of his love, mercy, power, wisdom, endurance, he is our source. He is the inexhaustible well from which we draw.
And when you're going through these difficult times, and just let me share with you, it's been a very difficult 2 months for my wife and myself, doing all the things that's come up and got other pressures that we don't want to go into. His grace is sufficient. I just want to tell you, when you're in the middle of it, you just praise him for who he is.
Well, tomorrow we're going to talk about Nebuchadnezzar having another dream, this time of a tree. So read Daniel chapter 4. Join us again tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern time, for more Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.